Would you pray with me? God, we pray that you'd speak to us through your word today. And we pray that you would give us a hunger for your word. Lord, speak until your church is built, until we as disciples grow in our faith. God, would you help us? Would you feed us today? In fact, Lord, we pray that you would give us a hunger for your word and a desire to not only discipline ourselves to read it day in and day out, but to find great delight and satisfaction in your word. Help us to do that today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, happy new year to you. Are you looking forward to 2017? It is here, whether you like it or not. It's happening. This is the first day of the year. And the first day of the year is the day of New Year's resolutions, right? That's what everybody's been thinking about. Okay, how am I going to live 2017 differently? We were at Frank's having some pizza with a family Friday night, and we were sort of just talking around the table. Hey, what are you hoping for 2017? And we asked the dad of the other family to start first. And so without hesitation, what are you hoping for 2017? Out of his mouth, without hesitation. He didn't think about it. He didn't pray about it. He just, 30 pounds. I need to lose 30 pounds. That's the plan. How would you answer that around the table at Frank's? What do you want to see happen in 2017? Do you want to lose weight? Do you want to quit smoking? Maybe you want to quit drinking. Maybe you want to learn to pray and fast. Maybe you want to grow in some particular area of your Christian life. Or maybe you want to use your time better than you did last year, like cut your Facebook time back to once a week, or watch less TV, or play less PS4, because PS4 is your world, and you can't seem to break out of gaming world to live the regular life of grown men. Or maybe it's the use of money, and you want to be more frugal. You want to be more frugal so you and your family can start tithing. Or you want to serve in the church. You want to serve in Upward, or you want to serve in the nursery, or you want to get engaged in one-on-one discipleship and invest your life in somebody else. What is it that you are thinking about as you move toward 2017? Or, no, it is 2017. As you start the new year today, where are you headed each year? On the first Sunday of the new year, we like to focus on an important spiritual habit, a spiritual discipline, something that forms us and grows us through a long obedience. Today, I'd like to invite you into a habit that I think can bring lasting change in your life like nothing else. I think it's the single most important habit for a Christian. It is the spiritual discipline that funds and resources all of the other disciplines. It's the discipline of opening the Bible daily and reading it. It's the discipline of eating the book that is Scripture. I want to invite you into daily Scripture reading, daily listening, daily reading, daily hearing the Word of God. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If you want to grow in your faith this year, I want to invite you to do this with us. I want to invite you to do this with us as a church family throughout the entire year of 2017. Give me 20 minutes a day. All right, here's the deal. Give me 20 minutes a day, 5 or 6 days a week. That's the plan. If you want to go for 7 days a week, then there's a small group of people over here who are going to be super, super 7-dayers. But I'm asking you to consider 20 minutes a day, 5 or 6 days a week. And I promise you that 20 minutes a day will become a life-giving habit to your soul like never before. Opening, you're not reading it to study it, you're not reading it to teach it, you're not reading it to explain it, you're not reading it to correct it, you're reading the Bible to let the Word of God begin to change you from the inside out. Turn to one of my favorite passages of Scripture that talks about the importance of taking the Word of God into your life. It's in Revelation. So if you don't have a Bible with you, get out the Bible that's in the pew in front of you and just go to the very last book of the Bible, Revelation, and chapter 10. I just want to show you a couple of verses to get us started. Revelation chapter 10, and pick up in verse 8. I think it'd be good for us before we really get into the meat of the sermon, before we get into the points here, I want to give you some reasoning, some motivation, some why are we talking about this today? Look at Revelation chapter 10 and verses 8 and following. And here, John, as you know, John is the one who receives the vision from heaven, and he writes it down in a book, and he's got this vision in chapter 10 of a mighty angel who's got two legs that are like pillars of fire straddling land and sea. And he's got this vision, here's what happens in verse 8. Then there's a voice from heaven that says, "Go, take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who's standing on the sea and the land." And so I went to the angel and told him to give me the scroll, and he said, "Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey." John says, "And I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel, and I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And I was told, 'You must again prophesy about many peoples and nations and languages and kings.'" John walks up to this angel in his vision, and he takes the scroll from his hand, and he eats the book. That is the image I want you to think about this morning. The Apostle John is taking in the Word of God. He eats the book. He does not read the verse of the day. He didn't read the verse of the day. He eats the scroll, and he gets the scroll into his mouth and into his stomach and into his system and into his reflexes and into his imagination, and it actually becomes that which God uses. It's metabolized into his mind and heart and will, and he actually writes this vision out. It's the book of the Revelation. It's parts of his vision. It's the Word of God that he takes in to his life. Like Ezekiel the prophet who ate a scroll and it was sweet, John does the very same thing. And before he speaks or writes the Word of God for others, before he finishes and writes down the prophecy that becomes the end of the Bible, the very last book of the Bible, before he speaks or writes the Word of God, he receives it for himself. Mark that. That's the idea. Before John begins to write or prophesy or anything else, he takes the Word of God in, and it is food and nourishment to his soul. Now, I am definitely not saying that you need to look for a mighty angel with legs of fire straddling land and sea, holding a scroll of prophecy so you can write and add a book to the Bible. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I am asking you to consider is that Bible reading is unlike any other kind of reading. And John's an example of that. When you read the scriptures, when you open the Bible to read them, it is different than any other kind of reading that you do. Any of the latest novels that you've been impressed with, any of the textbooks that you've been reading to get through PA school. It's just very different. The Bible is very different, and we read the Bible differently because it is different. The written Word of God is supposed to be tasted and chewed and savored, just like a dog worrying a bone. And you take it in, and it nourishes you. And it's supposed to be consumed daily. That's the point of the eating metaphor. That's what I want you to get from that in Revelation 10. There's an eating going on. John takes the scroll and he eats it. And the point of the eating metaphor that I want to draw out is that, and I don't think this is necessarily the point in Revelation 10, but I do think it's the point in the rest of the Bible about this metaphor, that the point of eating the Word of God is that it is like food, and you really shouldn't go more than a day or two without food, right? So eat the Word of God. Eat this book daily. We consume the Bible differently than any other book because it alone has life-giving nourishment for us. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about beginning to see the Bible and daily scripture reading as that which brings life and nourishment to your soul. It not only will call you to resist evil and satanic temptations, but the Spirit of God, when the Word of God is open, the Spirit of God wants to bring the Word of God to life in you. And so the Spirit grants us power and strength and the ability to resist temptation through the Word of God. This is exactly what happened to Jesus in the wilderness when he was tempted by Satan. Do you remember his response? Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every single word that proceeds from the mouth of God." For Jesus, the Word of God was life-sustaining. For Jesus, the Word of God was life-giving. And it wasn't just helping him to avoid sin. It was giving him life, and it was showing him what is good and right and beautiful and true. We want to follow Christ in that. So here's what I want to do. I want to make a case for why you should eat this book daily. I want to try to make a case today for why you should eat this book every day of your life as a follower of Christ. Let me give you a few reasons. Number one, to discover what's inside of it. To discover its content and its characters, its major themes, its storyline. Like, probably the most foundational reason to read the book daily is to discover what's inside of it. People assume all the time that they know what's inside the Bible, that they know what's in the pages of Scripture, but they don't. And we don't know because we haven't read. What are the major themes of the Bible? What is the main point? Who are the main characters? What do Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Hannah, and Rachel, and Daniel, and Ezekiel, and Peter, and James, and John, and Paul, what do they all have to do with one another? And how is all of this, how is all of the writing pointing us to Jesus Christ? How can it be true that in Jesus Christ, all of the promises of God are yes and amen? Well, to understand that, we would need to know the Old Testament, and we would need to know what the Bible is talking about in all of those Old Testament books and passages. So, for example, when Jesus says in Luke's gospel, the law and the prophets and the writings, they testify of me. What's he talking about? What's the law? The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, what are those five books? What's in them? And what are they about? And how do they point to Christ? We'll never discover that if we're not just getting a basic facility in opening the Bible and knowing Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. Here's the content of these chapters of Scripture. So we come to the Bible to learn its basic content, its themes, and ultimately to meet our Lord Jesus Christ and learn about his redeeming grace. And here's the other thing I want to add here. Please don't open the Bible on your terms. I think there's just a cultural... It's inherent in our culture and in our mindset, in our worldview today, to open the Bible in our terms. But don't open the Bible in your terms. Open the Bible on God's terms. Don't open the Bible to get God to participate in your life. Don't open the Bible to get something from God. It really should happen the other way around. We open the book and we are amazed that God has revealed himself to us and invited us into this strange new world that is called the Word of God, into the Bible. Eugene Peterson says it like this: we open this book and find that page after page takes us off guard. It surprises us and it draws us into its reality so that we might participate with God on his terms, not on ours. If I open the Bible on my terms, I'm surely going to read it the way I want to read it. So come with a sense of humility and come with a sense of discovery to see and learn what is inside of the book. So the first reason you want to open the Bible daily is because it's a big book and there's a lot to learn, and you're not going to just discover it on accident. You're not going to get a verse here and a verse there, and it's not going to make sense. And one of the reasons some of you are struggling with making sense of the Bible is because you're taking a verse here and taking a verse there. And so I want to really challenge you and encourage you to get the content of Scripture down. Here's the second reason. The second reason to read the Bible daily is to center my life. I want to center my life. I need to center my life on something. Colossians 3. As you're turning to Colossians 3, if you want to look at this with me, I have just been reminded in thinking about this. Why do you read the Bible daily? Well, because I feel the gravitational pull of the world, just like you, every single day. I feel the gravitational pull of worldliness pulling me off center. So I read the Bible daily to center my life and to center my identity in Jesus Christ. Listen to Colossians 3. It's one of our favorite passages when it comes to identity. You're thinking about 2017. You're thinking about a new identity for 2017. Who am I going to be in 2017? Colossians 3, great passage on Christian identity. Listen to this. Chapter 3, verse 1, if you've been raised with Christ, That is, if you believe in the gospel of Christ, you've placed your faith in him, and you believe that he died, buried, was buried, and rose again on the third day. If you believe that gospel, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For look at verse 3. Here's where the identity is really clear. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When you become a follower of Christ, you get a new life and a new identity. Paul is talking about this. If you have a new identity in the resurrected Christ, then live according to that new identity of the resurrected Christ. Drop down to verse 16. How do you do this? How do you put off the old life and put on the new life? Paul says all throughout chapter 3, put to death, put this away, put this off, put on the new life. Verse 16 is the key. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ center your life, which continues to be pulled in terms of identity and purpose, right? Let me see if I can illustrate it like this. So we got a new basketball goal for Christmas, which we were going to put up in the driveway. And so we had to dig a big hole. And so Parker and I dug this big hole, and then Zach and I mixed about 7 80-pound bags of concrete. And just, you thought, there's no way these 7 bags of concrete are going into that hole. And they all went into that hole. It was crazy. It just kept eating the concrete. So you got this huge hole of concrete, full of concrete. And then we put the bottom pole of the basketball, so the basketball pole is in thirds. You put the bottom pole in first, right? And you set that pole, but you have to center it. And so that's the process we're in the middle of. And you can't just put a pole in wet concrete and walk away, right? What happens? Over time, the pole starts to sink a little bit, and then it starts to do this a little bit. And if you build a basketball goal like this, wouldn't you, like, who did that? You drive people driving by in the neighborhood with a crooked bat. That would not be good. So over time, for the next hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, you're constantly checking the height of the pole, and you're leveling the pole, and you're centering the pole. And how do you do that? Do you do it? Well, you just eyeball it. Just step back. Well, you can't just eyeball it, because if you check the pole from over here, it looks straight. Oh, that looks good, Anderson. Does that look good? And yeah, that looks good to you. And then you come over here. Whoa, that is really not straight. So you can't eyeball it, so what do you need? You need a level, or you need a plumb line. And so you get the level, and you put the level on there. Thankfully, we have one with a magnet. So I'm constantly moving the level, right, around the pole and constantly centering and adjusting. Look, here's what I want to say to you this morning. Life, your life is constantly feeling the gravitational pull like this. And you can't see it. It might take an hour or two. You can't see it. But eventually, your life is being pulled. And unless you have the plumb line of the Word of God, the level of the Word of God, to straighten and square and level your life, you're going to lose your identity. Reading the Bible daily, why should you read the Bible daily? You should read the Bible daily because it is like a level. It is like a plumb line to center your life according to God's word. To remind yourself, my identity. Men, you need to remind yourself daily that your identity is not in your career. It is not in your income. It is not in your athletic prowess. Ladies, you need to remind yourself daily that your identity is not in your hairstyle. It is not in your outward appearance. It is not in the behavior of your children in church. Especially on a day like this when the schedule's all messed up, we were thinking about not even bringing the kids. Your identity is not in those things. Your identity is, if you've been raised with Christ, find your new identity in Christ. How do you find your new identity in Christ? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Eat this book. Eat this book every single day to find a new identity. Here's the third reason. Number 3, to learn to think Christianly. We do not think the right way on the other side of the fall. Since Genesis chapter 3, we don't think the right way. Ever since Genesis 3, there has been a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it is death. Yes, we're still image bearers, and yes, we still have dominion over the animal kingdom, and yes, the mind of man is a powerful creative thing, and yes, everybody thinks we're going to find a cure to cancer. Listen, I understand that the mind and research and the scientific method is very powerful, but the mind of man is also very corrupted. The mind of man is distorted. Somewhere, malware got in there. Malware got into the system, and every program and every app, every single one of your faculties has been compromised by some form of malware. And so you've got to run a malware scan daily. You've got to run a scan daily. If you don't scan your system at home, if you don't have some sort of virus protection software on your computer system at home, game over. It will not be long, right? The same exact thing is happening in life. You and I need, some of us are running on a scan that we did a year ago. And we're wondering why threats and viruses and confusion continue to abide in here. You got to scan daily to think Christianly. To learn to think Christianly, the best way that I have found to learn to think Christianly is to read Scripture daily, to read Proverbs over and over and over again, to begin to learn that the purpose of life is not information gathering, it is the acquiring of wisdom. Or read Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that one of the things God wants to do is to, through the gospel of Christ, help you to renew your mind, that you might discover what the will of God is for your life. A constant renewal of the mind. Or in 2 Corinthians 10, 5, Paul says that we don't believe false teaching and the false ways of the world. Rather, we want to take every single thought captive into obedience to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 is a great reminder that every one of my thoughts should be brought into submission to Jesus. Paul says we tear down strongholds. The false worldview and the false ways of thinking, they're like strongholds and towers. And through the gospel, we tear down those false ways of thinking. We take every thought captive. And this doesn't happen in a weekend seminar or in a Sunday morning sermon or in reading a book. It happens through the day in and day out. Listen, the way that you learn to think Christianly, the way that you get the mind of Christ. If someone asked you today, would you like the mind of Christ? What a great aspiration for 2017. I would love to grow in having the mind of Christ in 2017. Where would you say you'd get that? Where would you get the mind of Christ? Oh, the Spirit will give it to you. Well, the Spirit's not going to give it to you apart from the Word. But through the Word of God, the Spirit would be pleased to give you the mind of Christ. And so one of the reasons I read the Bible daily is to learn to think like Christ. Here's the fourth reason. To resource my prayer life. If you're like me, you know you should pray more than you do. Maybe you're thinking, in 2017, I want to pray more. And I want to pray the right things. And I want to pray as God wants me to pray. I know that it is wrong to come to my Heavenly Father only when I need Him to fix something. Has that ever occurred to you? Like, man, you know what? I look back on the last 3 months, and the only times I've prayed is when I wanted God to do something for me. What kind of a relationship is that? There's got to be more, I'm telling myself. There's got to be more to a praying life than crisis prayer, than God fix this, and then God heal that, and God will you solve this, and God will you solve that. Romans 12:12 says, it's a great line. It's just kind of hidden in the middle of, there's so much good stuff in Romans 12. It's just tucked in there. Listen to this. Romans 12:12 says, be constant in prayer. Be constant. Don't you want 2017 to be marked by constancy in your life? Constancy and stability? Be constant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, you know this one. Pray without ceasing. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, hours from the cross, just before he died, said to his disciples, listen to this, Jesus said to his disciples, as death is looming, death is around the corner, Jesus says to his disciples, watch and pray with me. Why can't you watch and pray with me? Someone early on in my Christian life, I don't remember who, taught me that if you want to learn to pray, you should read the Bible and then pray the Bible. Read the Bible and pray the Bible. Read the Bible, pray the Bible. No better resource. So you read the Bible and you learn the prayers of those who've gone before us, the prayer of Hannah or the prayer of Daniel or the prayer of Mary or the prayers of David throughout the Psalms or the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Here's how you should pray. Or the prayers of Jesus, especially John 17. I mean, the Bible's loaded with example prayers, prayers that you can just adopt for yourself. Well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray. Start praying the prayers of those who've gone before you in the Scriptures. Read the Bible to learn the prayers of those who've gone before us. Or, and this is, I think, even has an even more lasting impact, read the Bible in order to pray the text of Scripture itself. Like, actually take the Bible. Let me show you what I mean. Back up to Genesis chapter 3. Go back to Genesis. So turn with me back to Genesis. It's the first book of the Bible. And go to Genesis chapter 3. So today we read Genesis 1 and 2 in our daily reading. In the daily reading plan we're suggesting, and I'll come back to that in just a few minutes, we read Genesis 1 and 2. Tomorrow we read Genesis 3 and 4. Tomorrow, when you have Genesis 3 and 4 in front of you and you're reading through Genesis chapter 3 and 4, pray the Bible. Let Genesis 3 and let Genesis 4 be your resource for prayer. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. When you get to the end of chapter 3, before you go to chapter 4, stop and pray that God would protect you from the craftiness of Satan. A very simple prayer. The craftiness of Satan was instrumental in the fall of man. You will read about that tomorrow in Genesis 3. Stop and pray before you go to chapter 4. God, simple prayer, God, will you protect me from the craftiness of the serpent? And you could even work from the curse in the second half. God, would you please help me to understand the implications of the curse of man? And then when you get to chapter 4, look at chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. And when you get to the conflict between Cain and Abel, and Cain is so angry. Cain has anger just boiling up inside of him. Genesis chapter 4, man, you see Cain just, you see his anger just spilling out. And then God says, why are you angry? Pray that prayer and watch the Lord begin to change the anger that's even inside of you. And you do this over and over as you're reading through the Bible. And of course, admittedly, some passages of Scripture are much easier to do this with. Others are more difficult, right? Others are difficult. When you get into some of those passages in Leviticus, it's going to be challenging to pray. Read the Bible daily to resource your prayer life. Here's the fifth reason. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to see this one. So go back forward and go to the New Testament. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. I eat this book. I read the Bible daily to cleanse my soul. Look at this beautiful picture in verse 26 of chapter 5. Paul's giving instruction about husbands loving wives and a husband loving his wife in a sacrificial way like Jesus gave himself up for the church. And then what he does is he kind of works out a little more about what's happening in Jesus giving himself for the church. And he says that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Look at that phrase. I just want you to sort of focus in on the washing of water with the word. The word of Christ, the word of the gospel, the word of Scripture is being compared to water that washes over something. So I read the Bible daily because I need to bathe daily. I read the Bible daily because I read the Bible daily because I need to bathe daily my heart and my soul and my mind and my emotions, my words, my attitude, my disposition, all of my internal faculties. Of course, we don't think twice about bathing daily to get the external grime and sweat and body odor off of you. Of course, you're going to bathe daily to do that. But think about what Paul is saying here. He's saying in the same way you can wash your internal faculties and let the water of the word wash over you and rinse you and clean you and change you. If you read the Bible daily, if you let the washing of water with the Word of God, if you let the Word of God wash over you daily, I promise you, listen, you will become more and more and more uncomfortable with gossip and sarcasm and uncharitable judgments that come out of your own mouth. It's inevitable. You're going to be reading the Bible. You're going to be letting the Word of God wash over you. And stuff's just going to start rinsing out. It's going to rinse off. It's going to rinse away. And then when that comes back, you're going to be like, that doesn't look good. That doesn't sound good. That doesn't smell good. That's not right. You read the Bible daily, and the Word of God will wash you and cleanse you, and your unbridled appetite for entertainment, sex, money, and success will begin to be washed. And your unbridled appetite for everything that wants to take the place of God will be washed and chastened by the Word. And you'll start to love more what God loves and hate what God hates. How does the Lord give you the desires of His heart? He gives you the desires of His heart when your desires become His desires according to His Word. Cleansing, washing. Maybe we don't think we get dirty every day. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe that's part of the problem. We don't think we get dirty as we walk through this world. Parents don't have this question about their children. Listen to parents with children in elementary and middle school. Listen to parents with children say to their children, did you wash your hands? Did you wash your hands? We must say at our house 150 times a week, did you wash your hands? Anybody wash? Did you guys wash your hands? Did you wash your hands? How many times a day can you say, did you wash your hands? In fact, Vicky, last night, I was in bed already, and she was in the bathroom. I said, hey, would you mind tossing me a Claritin? And she got the Claritin out, and she brought it to me. She put it in the cap, and she was going to hand me the cap, kind of like a nurse would dispense it with hygienically approven means. And so she starts, I said, she had a couple in there. I said, you can use your hands. You've probably washed them 6 or 7 times today. She said, how about 16 to 20 times? We wash our hands all the time. So I'm wondering if we just don't think we're getting dirty on the inside. Or we don't think we need cleansing. You and I don't think twice about that. About germs are everywhere, wash your hands. It is so built in. Listen, let me talk worldview for a minute. Let's back up and think about why you think the way you think. It is so culturally built into our worldview and the way we operate here in 24018 and in the Western world in general that we're all talking about washing our hands. Did everybody wash your hands? Did you wash your hands? It's just part of the system. Have we forgotten a way of thinking that explains that there are germs on the inside of us? The germs of sin, listen, I'm telling you, the germs of sin are deep inside of you and they are far more dangerous. The germs of sin that are deep inside of you are far more dangerous than the passing around of the germs of a common cold. James chapter 4, verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. In the biblical worldview, we're dirty in here, not just out here. And so we need washing daily. One of the reasons, yeah, you can go a day or two without reading your Bible daily. You can go a day or two. Of course you can. You can be a Christian. You can be saved. Pastor, you're not saying I have to read the Bible daily to be saved. No, I'm not saying that. I'll come back to that in just a second. But could you imagine showing up to shake hands or eat a meal with deep grunge on your hands? Deep dirt. And you show up and you're just grungy and you're nasty and you sit down at the table and your wife reaches out, you're going to pray together and you hold hands. She's like, what is that? You're not coming to the table like that. And yet, that is on the inside of us. Cleanse my soul, Lord. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. He's not talking about outward stuff. The psalmist is talking about what's going on in here. He's talking about the same thing James was talking about. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You and I need to open the Bible and let the water of the Word of God wash us and cleanse us and put our hands deep down into the bucket and just scrub them and rinse them and say, oh God, thank you for the cleansing power of your Word, day in and day out. Not last month and not last year's cleansing. It will not last. Eat the book so that the water of the Word of God will wash over you and cleanse you. Here's the sixth reason. Number six. To discipline myself in Christ-likeness. To discipline myself. I read the Bible daily because the discipline is good for me. If you want to learn the Bible, there will be times when you have to simply acknowledge, I read the Bible because the discipline is good for me. There is a certain value in discipline for the sake of discipline. There is a certain value for discipline for the sake of discipline. Athletes know it, soldiers know it, farmers know it, musicians know it. Discipline shows up when desire and interest are long gone. Discipline stays. Discipline. One of the reasons to read the Bible every day is because you want to discipline yourself in godliness. Do you think any of the Clemson Tigers, Chuck's got on a, Chuck, where did you go? He's got the orange shirt. It's kind of loud, don't you think? I mean, it's a louder statement than I expected him to make this morning. But Clemson came in. Do you think Deshaun Watson is this morning thinking, man, dog, I wish I hadn't practiced so much. You think he's thinking that? No, he's not thinking that. Discipline makes things worth it. Discipline is an incredibly... 2 Peter 1:5. Where does the Bible teach this? 2 Peter 1:5. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, your virtue with knowledge, self-control, and steadfastness, and on and on. Make every effort, the Apostle Peter says. Work as if it mattered. As if God meant something to you that was more significant than anything else in the world. Make every effort, Peter says. Or 1 Timothy 4, bodily training is of some value. But training in godliness, spiritual exercise, spiritual discipline, spiritual practice is of value in every way. Listen, there are some days when you don't want to go to practice, but you go anyway. Right? Isn't this part of what we teach our kids? There's some days when you don't want to go to practice, but you go anyway. Why? Because the coach is worthy of your respect and the game is worthy of your respect. So go to practice. So we do it because God wants us to do it. There are times, in fact, maybe more often than we would want to admit, when we do out of duty and discipline what is right because we sense God's worthiness, we don't feel like we ought to do it, we don't want to do it, we don't feel like going to practice, but we know that the worthiness, that God is worth it, that we ought to, we sense his worthiness, we feel duty bound to God, and we should. You should feel some sense of obligation to the maker of the entire world. Now someone says, wait a minute, that undermines grace. No, it doesn't undermine grace. It doesn't have to undermine grace. Somebody says, Christianity is all about grace. You should never do things out of a sense of duty. That's not true. If you have the right theology, you will account for both duty and grace. We're not talking about earning our salvation here. We're talking about working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're talking about what Paul says in Philippians when he says, I want to encourage you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, like through every possible means that you could work to follow Christ. Don't downplay the value of duty. Don't let someone say to you, and don't downplay the value of duty yourself. We are living in a generation that has incredibly downplayed loyalty and duty and discipline. Discipline is not a contradiction to grace, any more than practice is a contradiction to game day. It's not. Practice is what makes game day fun, and discipline is what makes the delight all the more delightful. So at some point in February or March, say that, let's just say half of you decide to jump in with us and we're going to read the Bible together. You got to do Genesis 1 and 2 today if you want to catch up. Genesis 3 and 4 tomorrow, and you'll see the schedule. We'll talk more about that in a second. Let's say you start reading with us today, and at some point in February or March, you start getting tired of daily Bible reading. You're like, man, I made it to March. There's no way I'm going to make it through the rest of the year. When that happens to you, when you sense that, you just keep heading up the trail. Just keep heading up the trail. There's no way I can make it to the top of Dragon's Tooth. There's no way I'm going to make it to the top of Dragon's Tooth. You keep walking up the trail. You just keep walking. You walk slower, that's fine, but you keep walking. Because the discipline is worth it. Because when you get to the top, the view is amazing. When you get to the top of Dragon's Tooth and you have been fighting to stay on the trail and get all the way to the top, when you get to the top of Dragon's Tooth, you're like, this is amazing. I'm so glad we stuck with it. That happens when you open the Bible. I'm telling you, this is going to happen to you. If you will get on the trail and if you will stick with it, you will get to the top and you'll go, man, I didn't know this was in the Bible. Man, God is speaking to me through his word. I'm so hungry for the word. I'm so thankful for discipline that kept me in the book. Let me give you the seventh reason. We got to start landing the plane here. How many does he have? That's the question. This is the last one, number seven. And all of God's people said, amen. Easy, easy. All right, number seven. This is the most important reason. We have to do this. The most compelling reason to read the Bible is for the sheer pleasure of it. To learn to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind, to deepen your love for God. When you open the book, you should be deepening your love for Christ. When you open the book, you should be finding Christ on every page. When you open the book, you should be deepening your satisfaction. Right? Blessed is the man who walks not in this. He doesn't sit in this. He doesn't. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What is the psalmist talking about? What's David talking about? He's talking about delighting in God. I love God more than anything else. David says, delight keeps me reading. The sheer pleasure of it keeps me reading. I read the Bible day in and day out to learn to deepen my love and affection for Christ. Psalm 119 and verse 97 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day long. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies become my meditation. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Oh, how I love to meditate on your word. I love the word. I love to delight in the word of God. The main, the ultimate, the most significant, the most compelling reason that you should read the Bible day in and day out is because you love it and you want to love it more. You want to love God's word. You want to love his promises. Do you know why people play Clash Royale? Do you know Clash Royale? Clash Royale is a phone game that just really exploded in popularity in 2016, one of the best games of 2016. A little phone game where you get three towers on one side, three towers on the other, and you just kind of blow each other up. It's fascinating. Actually, it is kind of fun, because I've been sucked in, and I am part of the Que Chivo clan. Que Chivo, the cool clan. And it's made up of mostly people from the cave. And so I've been sucked into Clash World, and I've been playing it, and I'm getting demolished because I don't have cards, and I don't have experience, and I don't have battle decks like all you guys do who are playing this. So I keep losing, but I'm staying with it. Okay, do you know why teenagers and 20-somethings, and do you know why people love Clash? Let me rephrase it. Do you know why people play Clash Royale? Why do they play it? Because they love it. I mean, they love it. Like, the same reason you play any game. Because you get kind of sucked into it. You're like, man, I love this. This is fun. In fact, I heard somebody say recently, man, I wouldn't know what to do without Clash. I love this game. Like, whoa. Time out. Right? We give our time and we give our energy to what we love. And when we give our time and energy to what we love, we discover that we love it more, or we discover how to put it in its place. With the Word of God, we want to discover more and more how we can love His Word. We read the Bible day in and day out for the pleasure of it, for the sheer delight of it. We read the Bible because like a 15-year-old who's discovered a new game, where, wow, this is amazing, but this lasts. The Word of God lasts forever and ever. In fact, the Bible itself says the Word of God will last forever. We give our time and energy to what we love. So, we open the Bible daily, and we read it. Sometimes we read it alone. Sometimes we read it with others. Sometimes we read it in the morning. Sometimes in the evening. We read it with our children, with our grandchildren. We read it during a lunch break. We read it as we're lying in bed at the end of a day. We listen to the audio as we drive down the road on an evening walk, doing yard work. Sometimes we read it to those who are sick or whose eyesight is failing. Sometimes we read it with those who are exploring Christianity, or maybe with a new believer. There must be a thousand ways. You say, I wouldn't really know how to incorporate daily scripture reading into my life. There are a thousand ways. Absolutely a thousand. And I'm talking about a thousand ways beyond simply opening up your Bible at your kitchen table with a cup of coffee. So I want to invite you into this year. I want to invite you to read the Bible with us every single day throughout the year 2017. Let me give you a couple warnings and we're going to close. You got to have warnings, right? Here's the first warning. Do not read the Bible every day in 2017 to impress anybody. Don't do it. It's deadly. Don't read the Bible to accessorize yourself and make yourself look better. It'll backfire. That's Pharisee life. That's Pharisee Bible reading. We don't want Pharisee Bible reading. Don't read to impress, which means, by the way, there's a lot of this that's going to be going on, and we're not even talking about it to each other. Secondly, don't read to proof text your personal agenda. Don't read the Bible to promote your political agenda for America. Don't read the Bible to leverage your business contacts or your networking relationships. Don't read the Bible to justify a divorce. Don't read the Bible to justify a sinful lifestyle. Don't read the Bible to proof text your agenda. Decide you're coming to let the Word of God speak to you. You're not going to tell the Word of God. Number three, don't read to correct others. Man, this is so tempting to do, especially if you've never read before and you start growing in your understanding of Scripture. And then somebody makes some comment over here and it's not even accurate, and it's a complete misunderstanding of the Bible, and you feel the need to immediately correct it. Don't do it. It'll be okay. Don't read the Bible to begin enjoying correcting other people. In his book, Charity and Its Fruits, Jonathan Edwards calls this a disputatious spirit. like a spirit that seems to enjoy pointing out where other people are wrong. Do not read the Bible in any way to foster in yourself a spirit that enjoys pointing out where other people are wrong, either in the way they're living their life or they're not living their life according to Scripture. You've discovered this new amazing truth in Scripture. Now you want the whole world to live it with you right now. Well, that's not going to happen. So don't read the Bible for that reason. Fourth, don't read to achieve. Don't read to achieve. The goal this year, if you join us as a church family to read the Bible through 2017, the goal is not to read 100%. That's not the goal. The goal is not to read 100%. Every single, where's the handout? We've given you a sample. We're encouraging you to do it either electronically or hard copy. You've got a sample in your bulletin. The goal is not to read every single line of every verse all the way throughout the year so that when you get to the end of, So we're not going to have a chart in the hallway that has Linda's name and then check mark seven times for each week. So we can go out there and look and see. David Davis obviously didn't read his Bible this week. And he's our Sunday school teacher. Great. So we're not doing that. We're not going to have a chart, and we're not reading to achieve 100%, and we're not going to give out stars at the end of the year, and it's not a program like everybody's going to be watching everybody, and you're growing, and your bars and your stars are growing, and nobody else's are. That's not how we're not reading to achieve. In fact, I want to encourage you not to ever ask someone this question. In the year 2017, do not ask this question: did you do all your reading this week? Don't ask each other that. Instead, you can ask this: what are you learning from the Word of God this week? All right, I got to close because I'm pushing the boundaries here. I have no idea what time it is. Colby took his watch back. I was wearing Colby's watch and he took it back. And outside, I have no idea what time it is. Well, you better finish. Great. This last slide is a sample of the ESV app. So here's what I'm doing right now. I have on my phone the ESV app, and so I'm listening. I'm listening and reading. This is a cool app. If you've never used this, I would encourage you to look at it. And you can listen, and as you're listening, it will scroll the text for you. And so you can follow and listen, or you can listen while you're driving, or you can listen while you're working. You can listen to the Bible and hear it. And one of the ways to do it is to listen. One of the ways to do it is to read. One of the ways to do it is to read it as a family. One of the ways to do it is to read it with each other. You can use a hard copy. You can find a plan like this online, any number of places. We're going to give you, each month, we're going to give you an update of what the reading plan we're using. So you can take that with you, tuck it in your Bible. If you like to check off the, you know, I read it all. Look, here's what I want to do. I really do need to know what time it is. How much more time do I have? Ouch. All right. If you want to know more about how to do this, see me or John or some of the other pastors after church, and we'll pray. And yeah, we got to learn how to do this together. We've got to learn how to read the Bible together. All right, let's pray and go home. Oh, Happy New Year, too. Yeah. Why don't we stand together? Why don't we stand together? Because we have a closing song. Yeah, let's pray and let's pass. Yeah, pass on that. Thank you for your patience this morning. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do pray that you would help us to eat this book as if we hungered for you more than anything else in the world. Would you help us as a family to promote reading Scripture together daily? Lord, not to impress each other, not to be legalistic. Lord, would you grow us, help us to hunger for your Word? We pray this in Christ's name. Before you're dismissed,